Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken.
Who wrote that?
Oscar Wilde, the playwright behind The Importance of Being Earnest.
And that is a witty, famous, and wildly popular play coming to the stage in Colorado Springs.
We'll learn about that and more about TheaterWorks 50th season.
Next on Loving the Springs, where we celebrate the best and elevate the rest.
You're listening to Studio 809 Podcasts, the cure for common apathy and indifference. Reported side effects include a sense of being informed and engaged. Ask your doctor if Studio 809 is right for you.
I'm Dave Gardner.
I'm Carrie Simison.
I'm Al Verde.
And we're recording today on November 7th in the Studio 809 Podcast Community Podcast Studio at The Next Us, which is a beautiful, vibrant co-working space in the heart of downtown Colorado Springs with a really great vibe. You might want to check it out.
Brigitta was ooing and aahing on her way in.
Oh, it's such a cool space.
It is very cool. Hey, it's the 50th anniversary of TheaterWorks in Colorado Springs, and that is a very long run for a professional theater company.
We think that warrants an episode of Loving the Springs. So joining us in the studio today are two of the stars of the show, one on stage and one behind the scenes, but very important.
Brigitta Dupree and David Siegel. Let's get to know the two of you.
So first of all, let me brag on you, David Siegel, Executive Director of the Nth Center for the Arts at UCCS, formerly CEO of the B. Vredenburg Foundation, currently Chair of the Colorado Springs Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services Advisory Board.
Past Chair.
Past President of the Cultural Office of the Pikes Peak Region Board of Directors.
You make me sound very old, Dave. I have to brag on you for getting the title of B. Vredenburg Foundation for pronouncing it correctly. That's a rare occurrence.
You're welcome. Music Director for Green Box Arts Festival.
That continues.
You received the Mayor's Young Leader Award for Community and Economic Development in 2020. And I think you're still a talented musician.
Some days, yes. Some days, less so.
You play fiddle for Grass It Up and Mango Fandango? Is that how you pronounce that?
Dave, you're a pronunciation wizard. Yes, Mango Fandango. And I'm playing a lot with the Jeremy Facknitz band.
Oh, that's right. Aren't you lucky?
Yeah.
What do you do the other 4 days of the week?
Not a lot.
Rest, probably.
No,
so.
I spend time outside and I go see art because we have such a vibrant art community in this town. And anytime I can get out of the Ent Center and see art at a venue where I'm not responsible for everything that might go wrong, it's a real treat. So that's what I do with my time off.
Let me put you on the spot. Today is First Friday. Where will you go?
Sadly, I'm going to work.
Okay.
We have shows in the building, so I will be at the Ent Center. If I were free, I would be going to Auric Gallery because there is always something new and interesting to look at there. I love spending time in Chris Alvarez's studio and gallery down under the Colorado Avenue Bridge. And more recently, I think the gallery over at the Sluice in Old Colorado City, they have really interesting, vibrant, creative work. So those would be my three stops if I
Fantastic.
Were not sitting at my desk tonight.
I'm really stoked about Cottonwood's exhibit tonight, and I am actually lucky enough to be joining the Cottonwood Board in January, but this month's exhibit is abstract art inspired by this retro couch that they purchased. So it's this really cool retro couch, and all of the artists were to submit something abstract based on this couch.
Oh, that sounds cool.
I was there at Cottonwood a couple weeks ago, and this is the only exhibition that could be cooler than the exhibition they had up last month, which was all demented cats.
Yeah, they're doing some cool stuff over there.
I want to see the couch.
Yeah. I want to sit on it. I'm like, what happens to the couch after the exhibit's done? Maybe it goes into silent auction or something.
There's your nonprofit brain at work, Carrie. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's my turn. I get to introduce Brigitta Dupree. She is Lady Bracknell in the upcoming performances of The Importance of Being Earnest, a theater lecturer at UCCS who designs and teaches courses on acting workshop?
I became a professor.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish we had champagne to cheers.
Well, I was a lecturer for many, many years, and then a position became was available for a professor's position, and I applied thinking, oh, for sure, I won't get this, but it would be interesting. And then I got it 3 years ago. So I'm a tenure-track professor at UCCS, and I love it.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Thank you. It's wonderful.
Oh, I love it. Also, the co-founder and artistic director at Milibo Art Theater, in charge of 20 unique different productions, 160 performances, and how many characters or sisters?
So many.
So many.
Yes.
I mean, do you have a favorite?
Character that I play?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I love playing Babette, but I don't, well, she plays me, is really what happens.
And just in case our listeners don't know who Babette is, can you give us Babette's bio?
She talk like this. She grew in Bulgaria and then go to Brazil. And she's very passionate about life and about people and people having good experience in her life. And I put the wig on and I become this person. So it's not really Birgitta. She's just a vessel.
I love it. I love it.
And I never met Birgitta. I've only known Babette for 20 years or so.
You don't need to know Birgitta.
Well, it's a pleasure to get to know her a little bit. And I'm such a huge fan of everything that you and Jim Jackson do at Milibo. You are community treasures for sure.
Thank you so much.
And this new facility, well, it's not so new anymore, but the facility you have now is just magnificent.
Yeah, and I love that we can be together here. I real support of the Ent Center. I mean, that's where I work and I perform there as well. But there's room for many different theater companies in this town. And I think we just make each other stronger.
I would say there's more than room for many theater companies. It's essential that we have many theater companies because our actors work at the Milibo and the Milibo's crew works at TheaterWorks, and we're all connected to the Fine Arts Center and to Springs Ensemble Theater. Like, you need that ecosystem of theater, and the Milibo is such an essential part of this arts community and especially this theater community.
Thank you. Absolutely. I wanted to share a story. A friend of mine's father was with the Army Corps after World War II, and they went into France and Belgium and all these places, and each city sort of advocated for what they needed built. And there were two things they always said they wanted. They wanted their church rebuilt, and they wanted their theater. And I think that's really speaks to what the values, how a theater can speak to the needs of a community. It tells our story.
That's awesome. And I love how much of the community you invite into Milibo as well. The various shows, whether it's the Milibo Ho 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 or the Match Game, that are just so many different ways to explore theater and theater offshoots.
Oh, yeah. And I think different types of theater that we do at the Ent Center and that we do at the Milibo. And I love that my students get to come and experience the Milibo as well. And we do a lot of new work. But there's great synergy between it all. Yeah.
I don't want to get too off track, but I've walked out of movie theaters many times. Sorry that I had spent the last 2 hours of my life in there. I don't think I've ever walked out of a live theater performance with that feeling, ever. Something about live theater that's more magic.
Oh, I think so. And think if it makes you feel more alive. And you hope you love the piece, you leave loving what you saw. But even if it was something that sort of maybe riled you, you leave more alive. Yeah. You leave asking different questions, more connected, because you've shared that. And thinking about the rise of AI and how music and theater and that cannot be replaced by AI. And we're hungry for real experiences.
Thank goodness for that.
Mm-hmm.
David, you're an artist. You're exuding this passion for art. How do you get on to something like the Lodging and Rental Car Tax Committee?
Oh, it's the most interesting thing I do during the week. Well, so yes, I'm an artist and art changed my life. Art is the reason I graduated from high school. Art gave me an ability to understand emotion and to express emotion that I couldn't get through writing or through, you know, what we traditionally ask students to do in school. And because I was able to tap into that emotional presence and emotional understanding, pretty early on, it became clear to me that the same skill set that I use on stage, I could use it in a board meeting. And actually, I found that to be just as interesting and just as meaningful to be able to sit across a table from somebody with whom I may disagree and have a real conversation and understand mm-hmm. each other. And that's what we get to do sitting around the board table. So it's all one big package of who I am, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And I'm really lucky that throughout my career, I've been able to support the arts with my day job and create art with my night job. And those two things work in simpatico, and I'm very lucky for it.
Okay, so I hear art and art and art and art, but I haven't heard about lodging and rental cars. Oh, well,
the missing word there is money. And the lodging and automobile rental tax is one of the only discretionary funding sources that the city has. And it's a key supporter of arts in our community because we know that cultural tourists spend more and stay longer in towns that they visit. So it's a good thing for our economy and for the vibrancy of our community to invite people into this community that are interested in being part of cultural experiences. And at the End Center, we're seeing out-of-town visitors are our largest, fastest-growing patron segment. So out-of-town visitors have increased by almost 40% in the last 2 years. And that's really important both to what we're doing at the End Center, but really to the community broadly. Because when you come to see a play at the End Center or at Millibow, or you come to hear a concert at Lulu's, you're probably going to buy dinner. You're going to stay in a hotel room, which in turn puts money back into the lodging and automobile rental tax fund. You're going to have breakfast the next morning, and maybe you'll stop at Poor Richard's for a gift for your grandkids when you get home.
That makes perfect sense.
This morning on Colorado Public Radio, there's actually a piece that says Colorado's cultural sector attracts 3 times more attendees than professional sports. So arts and culture attendance in Colorado far outpaces attendance of Rockies, Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, and Rapids events.
Wow.
Likely includes Red Rock Amphitheater, which, you know, would make sense with as much programming there. But, I mean, that's huge.
How did you get involved with parks and recreation?
Yeah, I'm passionate about this community. I love this community so deeply. Growing up here, I didn't appreciate it. I'm a Palmer High School grad and got out of here as quickly as I could. I found it very uninteresting and boring. Moved to New York City and did the music thing in New York for several years. And then I realized what a remarkable home we have here in Colorado Springs in the Pikes Peak region, and parks are a key piece of that. I'm a lifestyle guy. You know, art brings joy and richness to my life, as does spending time outdoors in our beautiful landscape, and we need it all. The other piece, though, is that the Parks Department is actually the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services Department. So the Parks Department manages our public art collection in Colorado Springs. The Pioneers Museum is part of the Parks Department. And I thought it was really important for the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services Department to have a cultural advocate. So I raised my hand and was lucky enough to serve on that board for 6 years.
Well, thanks.
Excellent. Yes. Yeah, thank you for your service.
Yeah. We definitely want to talk about Theater Works and the 50th season and a number of those productions. But I also want to spend a few minutes, if we can, talking about the End Center for the Arts. I think a lot of people don't have a full understanding of what the heck that big building up there is. Can you kind of fill us in on what you've got in there?
Yeah. So the End Center opened in 2018, and it's really the culmination of, at that point, almost 45 years of art on the campus at UCCS. UCCS turned 60 this year, and Theater Works is celebrating its 50th birthday. So before UCCS had a single sports team, we had a professional theater company. And for years, UCCS has used the arts the way many universities use their athletic programs. So it's the way we show up for the broader community. It's the way we invite people onto campus. It's the way we build sense of pride and place on campus. And so as a result of that, we have a $75 million art center and not a $75 million football stadium. Ah. So what happens inside that very fancy building? Well, we have 4 pillar programs, and we're also the home, I think importantly, it's the home of the theater, dance, and music programs for the university. So university students are studying in our spaces, performing in our spaces, and bring so much life to the End Center. The 4 professional programs are a community rental program, so welcoming organizations from across the region to perform in professional venue space. The Artist Series, a presenting program, so we're bringing in touring artists from around the world to play one-night-only performances. The Galleries of Contemporary Art, or GOCA, which is a non-collecting contemporary art gallery, hosts anywhere between 4 and 6 exhibitions a year. And then TheaterWorks is our professional theater company in residence. And so at any given time, there are 2 to 4 performances happening within the building. Last year, we hosted a little bit over 420 ticketed performances, and 110,000 people visited the building. So there is always something creative, something life-fulfilling happening with inside that wavy silver building. And you, the public, are always invited. It can be a little scary to walk onto a college campus, but the Ent Center, every so often somebody will say, oh, this is David's building. And I chuckle and I say, no, it belongs to the people of Colorado. I just happen to have the key, but it's a public asset. The university is a public asset, and especially the Ent Center is a public asset that belongs to everyone in our community and in our state.
Has there been any conversation? Will it become the Wings Center after Ent merges?
Oh, what a question, Carrie. yes. So Ent Credit Union has been a great partner, and we're in conversation now. I think where it stands right now is it looks like we'll be able to maintain the Ent name. Still some details to be worked out, but I don't expect to be the Wings Credit Union Center for the Arts anytime soon, although we are really thinking about how can we support Wings members and continue that Ent legacy under the new name change.
I hadn't even thought about that, Carrie.
That's why there's 3 of us.
Yeah. So it is on a college campus, but it's right on the edge, so it's not really that scary to find your way to it.
And there's free parking.
Yeah. And the galleries are free to walk in.
GOCA is always free to visit. It's open Thursday through Saturday, 1 to 7.
And you also host a lot of community and nonprofit events in the kind of lobby space as well.
Yeah.
I've been to dozens and dozens over the years, and it's such a beautiful space with, you know, floor-to-ceiling windows, so the view out from there is just awesome. But a really cool place to be at an event and to get to experience, again, a building that you might not think you can go to and then see everything that's in there.
Yeah, and we love hosting those type of events. And truly, welcome. The Ent Center was built to host events exactly like that and to welcome community organizations. So if you have an event and are interested, please give us a call. We would love to support your event in the building.
Very cool. Well, shall we turn our attention to TheaterWorks?
Yes.
So 50th season. I already missed Cabaret.
I missed it as well, but I can't tell you how much buzz there was about it in the community. Everyone that I knew that had been to it just raved and raved about the quality of the show, and people went more than once, and I'm really pretty bummed I did miss it.
It was our TheaterWorks highest grossing production in its history, sold 97% of the seats we had available. Most performances were sold out.
Wow.
That's unheard of in the land of theater.
We're all still pinching ourselves. But I think the lesson for me is when you do work that's relevant, and how relevant is the story of Cabaret in 2025? When you do work that's relevant and you tell that story in a compelling way, people are so hungry for the shared human experience of being in a theater together and grappling with difficult but relevant and entertaining work.
Brigitta, do you ever get tired of listening to this guy? He's like,
no, he's so eloquent. He speaks so beautifully about the importance of arts in our community and what the Ent Center provides and what it hopes to provide. And
he's a great spokesperson.
Yeah. Thank you for telling that story. I think it's an important one.
Well, you're very kind. And I would be remiss if I didn't give credit to Brigitta as my past theater teacher. I am not much of an actor. But Brigitta taught me some theater years ago.
Yes, and, when you were like a toddler.
A toddler with a beard, maybe.
Coming up is The Importance of Being Earnest.
Yes.
Starts November 28th and runs through almost till Christmas.
Yeah. It's such a fun show. It's such a, Oscar Wilde is such a beautiful writer. And this is his, confection of a play. And it's so, so funny. And so the cast is delightful. We just started rehearsals a few days ago, and they are playful. And when we did what's called our first read-through, Max, who is the artistic director, just was so excited. Can't wait to unleash you. And it is. The cast is terrific, very playful, and the director's great. So it is going to be a fun romp.
And I guess season ticket holders are kind of locked in for this, but there's still plenty of seats, I'm sure, for non-season ticket holders, right?
Well, there are plenty of seats as we sit here recording this, but there were not plenty of seats to Cabaret. So
there you go.
Don't miss the opportunity, and always better to buy early.
So, Brigida, will you tell us a little bit about Lady Bracknell, who you play in the upcoming show?
Oh, she is. She's called... a monster, a gorgon. She's a comedic character. For an actress to get to play this role, this iconic role, is terrific. And she is sort of the epitome of style, the idea of style and etiquette, and very opinionated and extremely judgmental, and sort of comes in as a bull in a china shop. But she has some very famous lines, and it is so much fun for myself to get to play this. I think everyone should come see this play. In this time, we need something that is going to make us laugh and play. Oscar Wilde wasn't sure what to call it. Was this a trivial comedy for serious people or a serious comedy for trivial people? And I think it's both. And you will come, and the cast is terrific. And it's such good use of language, and it's playful, and it's funny.
Have you played Lady Bracknell before? This is a debut role for you.
I've not played her before. I've directed the show like 11 years ago, so I know the show very well. But when they asked me to do it, it was just like someone just said Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and Happy Birthday all at once. She is so delightful. And for me, I'm a comedic actress, and it's just delightful to do the role. It's often given to a man, and oftentimes it's a man playing the role in drag. So it was great that they, I get to do it. And it tells a different story when it's a woman playing the part than when it's a man in drag playing the part.
How so?
Well, I think you're not maybe thinking about how clever the performance is when a man is playing it, because often then it's like, oh, look how clever this actor is. And maybe when it's a woman playing it, you're paying attention to different things, perhaps. How judgmental she is.
Okay.
And, you know, what do you think about that, and where does that land?
When you directed it, how was she cast?
I cast Jane Fromey, who has done many, many roles throughout this community and very many at Theater Works. And she was very playful, terrific comedian. And I get to play it and discover it in a completely different way. And what's been fun for me is I have this other character that I play, Babette, who I've played for years and who I do a lot of improvisation with. And when I play her on stage, I'm so free and it's so no judgment. And I thought, how can I come to this role of Lady Bracknell with that same playfulness? So I actually started memorizing my lines last year. So what's so fun is to come to this rehearsal process fully memorized so that I can get rid of my script and just play. And that's been a joy. And as an older sort of actress, you know, I'm not an ingenue anymore. It's great to sort of try different approaches to get into the work. But to play us, to have this language is so beautiful. He is such an exquisite writer.
Is it a good show for a family holiday outing?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, yeah. It's so silly and very physical and fast-paced. It's delightful. And I think it's like a confection. It's just so silly and playful, and the characters are amazing and ridiculous. And I think maybe having a bit of that kind of frivolity and joy is really important right now.
Yeah, we don't laugh enough.
It's not a work for kids, but it's quite appropriate for youngsters, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I think if you were an 11-year-old, you'd chuckle.
TheaterWorks has a history of, during the holidays, not doing the expected holiday work, because we get Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and all of these year-end holidays forced down our throats. And TheaterWorks has sort of said, there's so much great work that brings joy to our life during the holidays. It doesn't have to be draped in green and red and candy canes. And so this is continuing that tradition of family-friendly, enjoyable, just a ball of joy, fun work at the holidays. but it's not a holiday show.
And there are other ways to engage with the show besides actually seeing the performance, correct? Like before show, after show, act or talk back type things?
Yeah. Well, the thing about being a university is we kind of like to teach and and we like to share information. So there are lots of opportunities to engage with the work beyond just coming to the show. We do World of the Play, which is a conversation between Max Schulman, our artistic director, and one of the designers that's worked on the play. That'll be Thursday, December 4th from 6:15 to 6:45. On Friday, November 28th, after the show, I should have done this in chronological order. After the show, on opening night, there will be a toast with the cast and an opportunity to chat with the actors and the directors.
Will that be peppermint-flavored hot chocolate?
No comment.
Oh. It will be tea and crumpets, my dear.
But of course. And then community conversations on Saturday, November 29th and Saturday, December 6th, immediately following the performance, with a dialogue between the artists and the audience. So lots of opportunity outside of the play itself if you want to dig in deeper.
And people usually do like to dig in deeper. They don't, I mean, we want to not just go see a show, we want an event, we want an experience, and and to feel connected, you know, in a world that we are less and less so. It's just great. Take advantage of those.
Sounds like fun, yeah.
Well, and you get a little starstruck, too. I mean, you see a show like that that's touched you so much. And then when you get to actually, you know, get behind the scenes with the director, with the set designer, with the actors and actresses, that's something that we don't get the opportunity to do a lot. You know, after a concert, it's not often that you actually get to go and, you know, shake the hand of the drummer and give a hug to the lead guitarist, et cetera.
I think the more and more we can do that to see how integrated art is in our community and how we are connected to these people, they're our community members as well. And I'd just like to say, too, that all the students at UCCS can go see a TheaterWorks show for free.
Wow.
And I think we should talk about this 50th anniversary season is spectacular. We have some of the classics. We did Cabaret. We're going to do The Importance of Being Earnest. We're also doing Romeo and Juliet. We're committed to new theater. There's the play Garbology. This is a rich, amazing season of theater.
Will you talk a little bit about Garbology? It sounds fascinating.
It sure does.
What a concept.
Well, there is, I know, David's going to talk to it, but just a visual, there's a garbage truck on stage.
There's a garbage truck on stage because it's a show about garbage and sanitation workers. And so these two garbologists that are not natural bedfellows, I think you could say, are driving a sanitation truck in New York City. And they uncover all sorts of remnants of people's lives. And it's really, I mean, you can't have a show about garbage without it being funny, but it's quite poignant. And I hope I'm not spilling too much. At one point, they discover some used sex toys that have been thrown away, and sort of the whole conversation about what the things we throw away, what that says about our lives and about our culture and how much we can understand about people through our trash. So it's very funny, but also quite poignant. And the set shop is already scheming on how in the heck we're going to have a garbage truck on stage inside the building.
I wouldn't want to be in the props department on that one. And I mentioned the sound design is going to be pretty interesting too.
I would think so.
Speaking of sound, because as a kid, I grew up in New York City and the garbage trucks had very distinct sounds. Mm-hmm. And one of them was all of the garbage cans were steel. Mm-hmm. So now they're all plastic. But that made a very distinct sound when you took a steel garbage can and threw it into a steel garbage truck. And that, I mean, I have an imprint of that sound.
Isn't it amazing, though, the many senses we use to move through the world?
Yes.
And our memories, our specific memories of those senses. And if we're doing our jobs right in theater, and you can, we get to do this, I think, in a special way in the Dusty Lou Bon Vivant Theater, where TheaterWorks performs at the Ent Center, because it's such an intimate space. For Importance of Being Earnest, it's being presented in the round, so audience on all four sides. And I think the furthest seat is something like 8 rows from the stage.
Neat.
So you can smell the actors and you
can't hear the You are not going to be smelling Lady Bracknell. I know what you mean. But use a different metaphor, please.
You can appreciate the depth of all of our senses when you see theater in such an intimate space. And Brigida has great breath. But I have sat in the front row for some other performances, and you bet I can smell the actors.
Well, you know what's the flip side of that, which makes theater so great? We know you're there. The audience changes the show. I'll hopefully be word perfect. We'll all be word perfect. We know our blocking. But the audience changes the show every night, and I think that's what's so exciting about live theater. You're not going to see something that is that you don't have an influence on. You change it when you come in that space.
How does the fourth wall work in theater and around?
It spins around. There are eight of it. There are many walls. Well, it's a challenge for a director. Typically, I would say the importance of being earnest is not usually done in the round. It's often more of a proscenium stage just because of the kind of play it is. But I love the way, and to sort of go back to what David said about how close it will feel, how intimate, because it is all around. So there are some what we call blocking issues of how we move around the stage to bring an awareness that we always have to bring in the audience. So you can't just sit in one place on the couch because then the people behind you will never see your face. So the director has to be sort of an exquisite choreographer.
Wow.
Yeah. But the actors bring that too. They have, you know, you have an awareness of where your audience is and it's live theater. So even though you're in this world, you're always aware that you're sharing this world as you're telling that story.
I would be the audience member laughing in an inappropriate place in the performance. And so
that's great.
There is no inappropriate place to laugh in the importance of being earnest.
And I think that, too, is that the End Center feels formidable, but the shows that happen there are really, it's such a warm and intimate space. And the more people that can come into that space and experience that, you'll be converted. You'll become a theater goer, a subscriber, because there's nothing like live theater.
Has the whole season been cast already? So like Romeo and Juliet already has the cast and...
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we cast just shortly after announcing
the
season in the spring. So yes, the cast is ready to go. And Brigida is exceptional in that she was learning her lines for The Importance of Being Earnest a year in advance. But the actors know that what's coming up and they can start thinking about the work and preparing and thinking about their characters ahead of time.
Awesome.
Yeah, I did that just as an experiment, an artistic experiment, to see what it's like to not be dependent on the book.
Yeah, I wonder if your fellow cast members will be intimidated by that.
You know, everyone has a different process, and every show requires a different process. And I think probably 5 years ago, I might not have done that because I was looking for something different. But some of the cast members are also memorized or very familiar with the language. Productions usually have about 3 weeks. You have about 3 weeks of rehearsal, and then you go into what's called tech, when you add light and sound and things. 25 years ago, most professional theater companies had 5 to 6 weeks of rehearsal. Mm. So as actors, we really come prepared to jump right in, especially with something that's as exquisitely verbal.
That's discipline.
The passion that you both exude has me wanting season tickets. So is that an option?
Yes.
It sure is. You can get tickets at entarts.org, either for the season as a whole. Actually, as I say that, I think we just passed the deadline for subscriptions. You can get single tickets for the rest of the run.
I think there's lots of ways to see a show. So if the price of a ticket is intimidating, reach out to the box office. There are sometimes we have open dress rehearsals. There are sometimes other opportunities to come in. Don't ever think you can't come. People want you there, and there are shows where we can make accommodations for you.
So one of the things, as a senior, you can audit classes at UCCS for free.
You're absolutely right that you can audit classes, and many TheaterWorks patrons have taken classes from our new artistic director, Max Schulman, who is a professor in the theater program right alongside Brigida. And so you can take one of Max's classes for free. You can take one of Brigida's classes for free. And that diversity, age diversity, brings so much richness to our students and to the work that we're doing in the building.
What a value we have in this community to be able to do that.
And thank you for what you do, because that's what you're doing. You're letting your audiences hear what we have in this community. And we get so busy in our lives. We get so, this is where I go. This is where I shop. This is what I spend my time with. And you guys are reminding us how much more there is out in our community.
So while we're on that, let's start with you, David. What is it that you love about the Springs? You've told us many things already, but give us one pearl of something that just zings you about this community.
I'm going to hearken back to a dear friend, Kathleen Fox Collins, who passed away a few years ago. Kathleen was on the board at Bee Vredenburg Foundation and worked with Bee at the Colorado Springs Symphony for years. And Kathleen, in her very Kathleen way, would say, the thing about Colorado Springs is you can raise your hand and make a difference. And that's not true in most cities of this size, but it really is true here. If you want to be involved, raise your hand and get involved, and you'll be invited in. And that's so special. It makes our arts community more interesting and more vibrant. It makes all corners of our community more interesting and more vibrant.
And I can't think of anybody else who has actually walked the talk like you have for that. That's wonderful.
And that's been my experience. You know, Jim and I had a dream 24 years ago. Oh, wouldn't it be great to have this little theater company? And then boom, here it is, all this support from the community to make it happen. And it is this community that has really made the work that I do so meaningful and valuable, and to do it here.
24 years of Millabow. That's incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll have to have you and Jim in the studio for the 25th.
Thank you.
So was that your answer to the question?
I think it is. You know, and it's lovely that, I'm not as eloquent as David, but you said it. So true. It's a big town with small town possibilities.
Oh, that's a good quote.
I think you're way more elegant than I am, for the record.
Might be more elegant, but you're more eloquent.
What a difference a Q makes.
What a difference, yeah.
Are we ready to hit some community news?
Do a little community news wrap up?
Let's do it.
I do want to say something about our last episode, which was our first live. We live streamed it and recorded on location from the Brit Pub the day before they had their grand opening. And we did that because we're big downtown boosters, and it's downtown and it's right next to Widener Field. And so it was pretty unique. And
really built to be that third space. And I mean, more and more people, I think about that and know what that means now, but they really did. And I feel like after being there for the grand opening that they have succeeded in making a mini Britain, like on the first two levels of experience at Epicenter Apartments over there. And you walk in, and despite the fact that it's brand new construction, it feels like this warm English pub. Most of the owners have a British or a Irish accent, and they've got tons of experience in the hospitality industry. The beer on tap is all what you'd expect if you were sitting over in London. I haven't eaten there yet, but the menu, I mean, it's fish and chips and traditional Sunday roast, and it was really cool to experience the third space before they even opened it.
Yeah, that menu is amazing. Nova did a good job, I think, of explaining to us the community aspect of a pub, and I think they're pulling that off. So that was a good match. So I think that went pretty well. We enjoyed that, and we'll probably do something like that again. Noteworthy, down in your neighborhood at Ivy Wild School, you can have breakfast. The principal's office is now serving breakfast.
Great. And next week, we open a new show called A Doll's House.
There you go. And then Copper, the cultural office of the Pikes Peak region, moved recently, and I bumped into both of you at the ribbon cutting on October 15th, and they're in the Lowell neighborhood at a really cool spot overlooking the park.
Yeah, with community space for arts organizations and non-arts organizations to have meetings and gather. It's a really, really cool space, and how lucky are we that the cultural office is advocating for our cultural community, but also welcoming and inviting our cultural community into its space.
And it's an office worthy of the cultural office. You walk in and it feels like they belong there. They've just really designed it, I think, for their personality.
Yeah. So applause to Angela Seals and the staff there.
Hear, hear.
We've talked in the past about mountain bikes on the trails and all that kind of thing. So I thought this was interesting that apparently trail speed limit signs are going up on some of the trails.
Sign, everywhere a sign.
Yeah. Is that the electric bicycle situation?
Yeah, I think that's due to e-bikes.
I don't necessarily think that's just e-bikes, because as I ride my e-bike, the people I get passed by are people on road bikes going way faster than I am on the trails. So there are electric bikes that aren't really e-bikes. They're electric motorcycles, but we won't get into that.
So, Al, earlier you asked why I left Parks Board or something like that. The real reason is I could see this e-bike debate coming down the line, and I wanted nothing to do with it. And luckily, my term ran out.
This is one of my soapboxes, I think. But putting up signs in a community that has proven on I-25 that speed limit signs have no impact on actual behavior. And all you have to do is be on I-25 any time of the day, and you'll see that it doesn't work. Even the construction zone signs and the signs that say double fines in the construction zone. So great, we're spending money on signs, but okay.
Well, without enforcement, I mean, as we were getting into the rules around e-bikes, you know, it was like you could only go up to 20 miles an hour. You can only be on this trail with a class one, and that means the speed ends at X. But we've got no one monitoring speed. And so now are the signs a CYA? So they can say, we said you could only go 20 miles an hour, but still there's no one enforcing them.
But if you ride a bike and you're halfway aware in the state, the speed limit is 20 miles an hour. In some places, only 15. So we all know that. So the sign's not going to do anything.
Well, maybe that's true, but I was sitting here thinking, well, there are good people out there who would like to follow the rules.
But the rule's already there. It's not like the sign changed anything.
But they might be unsure. Is there a speed limit on this trail?
I'm walking.
20 miles an hour.
That's why you worry about other people going
exactly.
more than 20.
Then there's one little bit of bad news. The Vibes are no more. We don't have a baseball team in Colorado Springs, and it doesn't look like that's going to return anytime soon.
We've melted that marshmallow.
Okay.
I shouldn't chuckle, but that's great, Carrie. That's so spot on.
He was probably my favorite mascot, but we called him Hot Mess because we thought it was such a funny name for a s'more. But I know his name wasn't really Hot Mess, but it is sad. I mean, it's been before the Vibes, we had Sky Sox.
Sky Sox, yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, and we've had some kind of baseball team in the Springs even over 100 years ago, off and on. I do want to mention, you know, we've got over a dozen great local podcasts here in the Studio 809 Podcast Collective, and one of them is about bicycling in Colorado Springs, which I think is important. And Tori Giffen, who is the visionary owner of Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort, which is all about community, she hosts that podcast, and she's been absent from the podcast for a while because she had her hands full with her son Daniel and his battle with brain cancer. She recently came back to the studio to start back up on the podcast, and I have the good fortune of being the producer on that. And when we finished recording, Tori and I were sitting there in the studio, and she said, you know, I really need to thank the people who guest hosted while I was gone, Corey Sotella of Medicine Wheel and Terry Lyons of the Colorado Springs Racing Club. Tori sat there for about 5 minutes and thought about it. And then without writing any notes, without having thought about it for days, she just talked for about a minute and a half. And it was just really a pretty amazing 90 seconds about the cycling community in Colorado Springs. And I just wanted to mention that. Even if you're not a cyclist, if you care about community in this town, you ought to search for the Pedal of the Springs podcast and listen to the opening of the latest episode, which is about the West Side Bicycle Service, and get a pretty heartfelt message from Tori. Tori, we love you. Thanks for everything you do in the name of community and bicycling and podcasting.
I guess that's a wrap, huh?
I think that's it.
Let's elevate the rest.
Okay. There's plenty to elevate, but lots more to celebrate. In fact, one of our past guests is coming in to do her pilot episode next week. That's all I'm going to say. You'll just have to wait and find out who that is. Starting her own podcast. That's available to you guys, too.
Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for bringing
so much joy to the day. This was fantastic.
Thank you for what you do.
This was a treat. I do a lot of interviews, and this was way more fun than most. So thanks for having us and celebrating TheaterWorks' 50th birthday season and the joys and the hilarity of the importance of being earnest with us this afternoon.
We do a lot of podcasts, and this was a lot more fun than most.
This was great. I felt like Terry Gross for a minute there. So we'll see you at the Ent Center for the Arts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Cheers.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.